Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of To The Regiment, the Early Doors podcast with Phil Mealy and me, Ben Steele. So, Phil, how's it going today?
All right, Ben, not too bad at all. Had a bit of a lazy day today, really. I've not really done a lot, which is good. I've just been sort of clean, just doing domestics. Well, right. To be honest with you, I am recovering a bit from watching the football last night, where United should have won. We drew 2-2, but there you go. That's just life.
Were you watching or were you there?
No, I was watching. It was at...
It was away, wasn't it?
White Hart Lane, but it's not anymore, is it? It was at Spurs. So,
yeah.
Just watched it in the pub. So, commiserated with a few of the lads. And then had a
game. Yeah, well, we were away just down the road from you, actually, weren't we? In Everton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what score was it? I don't
know. 4-1.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, Leeds, it's either Leeds, Everton. There's going to be a big team. Southampton are already gone, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Leicester down there, they're still in the mix.
Yeah.
Forest, they're picking up points at the right time.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see who I'm just worried about the treble. Don't want the treble. Don't want the Blues to win that treble. So we'll see.
Well, they've probably got the title. I think they've got the title.
Yeah, Arsenal bottled it a little bit, didn't they? I mean, they're all young, aren't they? They're a young side, so they've kind of done really well, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
it can be interesting. They might just completely go a bit now. Because, you know, they may not even finish second. It depends how they, you know, how they react. But they seem to be in a bit of, well, not free fall is probably the wrong word, but they, you know, last four games, drawn 3, lost 1. It's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's that you can cope with it if that happens around November time or December. You can kind of, you can ride it a little bit, but not in April.
No.
Not in the business end.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, well, let's move off football.
Yeah.
at least we're in the right position in the league this time, not like last season. It was a different conversation. So this week, this is the first time we are talking about an episode in its entirety. So I've got a mini script here with some key points I want to go through. I'm just going to get your take on it more than anything.
All right, yeah.
Hopefully I've got some questions that are just a bit different.
Okay.
What I tried to do in this episode was take a chart, like a 5-bar gate thing of how many times bloody hell was said, and I lost track.
Yeah, you will do. When we did the Royal Family, we got notes from the BBC about can we cut some of the bloody hells out, because Jim's just says bloody hell all the time. So we said, yeah, all right. So we were surprised actually how many there are in there, which is not common, you know, bloody hell.
Yeah. It's a catch-all. It says exactly what you want.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing about it. You don't have to explain it.
I was trying to do a Tommy count on piss offs as well, but there was only one. I was surprised.
Yeah, well, piss offs a bit more
aggressive.
And aggressive, but bloody hell, isn't it?
So yeah.
I think that's why, yeah.
So, did you find out if this episode had a name?
Episode one?
Just episode one.
No, I mean, as I say, I don't think we didn't give the episodes names. It's never felt like a sitcom like that anyway. No. You know, we could have called it, you know, the urinal sign or whatever it was, or I don't know, but we never, you know, the pub quiz would have been an obvious one, but it was one of those things, like with the royal family. I think somebody somewhere might have given them the names, but not us. I don't think we did. I'm pretty sure that we just didn't give the episodes actual names.
Yeah. Makes sense. It just makes sense.
In the old sitcoms, A Night In and things like that, like Porridge, I think it was a standard thing to do. But I don't think the Royal Family did that. I don't think The Office did that either, did they?
I don't think so.
No.
I think the American thing to have titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this, you know, I'm pretty sure we didn't. Is the answer to that.
Right. So, first person we see is Ken, and he's topping up the Courvoisier with just supermarket brandy.
No thrills.
And he's putting the sign up, and he's kind of walking around the grapes. He's going to get that sense of location and sense of the layout of the pub. Was that something that you and Craig spoke about to try and put people into the pub and get the whole lie of the land?
We were really, I remember us being really pleased when we come up with the idea at the beginning, because it's 2 minutes, I guess, or a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And you learn so much about him and the pub, and nobody says a word. You know, and it's quite funny because, of course, you know, he's like, you know, I believe children are the future, and he's stealing off the penny pile, and all that. You know, you can't take away my dignity as he's cleaning the toilet and all that. I mean, I think you get to know a lot about him. You see the fact where you see it's working class. You see that he's a little bit dodgy, but you know, he's obviously not one of the great train robbers, but he's not bad at, you know, he's not averse to fleecing his customers a little bit, you know, just for his own ends. And he's also a bit petty, isn't he? Because, you know, with the sign, right? You know, he's written his sign about people dropping fag ends in the urinals. He's also, you know, a bit wound up. I think really enjoyed at the beginning of it. Just thought it was a really an original start to a sitcom as well. So
you're right. You do learn about a lot about him. That he seems likable and lovable, but also just a little bit naughty.
Which is great. I mean, the thing is, you don't want people to dislike him from the start, but it's quite funny that you see the Courvoisier bottle, and then as the camera pans across, he's there with the No Frills brandy filling it up. I mean, I just think, like, you know, I mean, and let's face it, when you go into pub, loads of times you think, sure, he's watering this beer down.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
There's always those things, isn't there? So it's kind of, it plays into a bit of a trope, really, that people think about landlord, that, you know, that kind of a guy. And he was great. As great as the, you know, he's just singing away and doing all these things like matter of factly. You know, it's nothing. This is nothing out of the ordinary for him. He's doing it every day.
Yeah. And then after that, there's knocks on the door and it's Tommy.
Yeah.
It's that's like I know this person who lives for it to be on time, is upset that it's not on time, is miserable, but happy being miserable.
Yeah.
And they just look forward to being in the pub. And I quite like the fact the drink is mild that he drinks as well.
Because
he's just mild. He's just a
Well, it's an old drink, isn't it? Mild as well, you know. I mean, I don't think you can get mild in pubs, so not many pubs these days. But
no.
It's just great that you just think it brings every, not in a, it's quite a slow beginning and it's sort of bringing it down a bit because you think, oh no, it's just this, we've got this and this miserable old sod's coming in. And he's even more miserable. I mean, you think Ken's a bit uptight and a bit, well, bloody hell about me sign. And you've got this fella that's coming in moaning because it's not the pub open on time. But I think with Tommy, I think everybody knows somebody like that. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody in the pub. Everybody knows somebody that sort of, you know, enjoys being miserable or seems to be miserable and is dour and, you know, bit of a killjoy, I mean, which is just him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He that's just the way he is, and he's, you know, he's always been like that, and he's probably got worse as he got older, so it's great that he's, you know, I think you just get the measure of it as well, and I think as well, starting the series like that, it probably put some people off. Think on reflection. Because you think, is it that, oh, it's a bit grim up north kind of vibe. But, you know, you write what you know about. And I just think, well, everybody recognises. And it's just a nice, gentle way of introducing, you know, the characters. You get a little flavour of what they're about. And then somebody else, you know what I mean? They sort of, you're just introducing them slowly and just giving the audience a little bit of a... an overview of what these characters are going to be like, really.
Yeah. And he's got one of the best jokes within the first 2 minutes about the person that died went to the seaside.
Yeah.
That's a great line. It's just like, never once went to the seaside.
I know.
Stopping the tracks a little bit.
It's kind of... well, it's just a really good... I can't remember who said it, but it's just... never once been to the seaside. Like, that's the kind of sum up of the ambition, really.
Mm-hmm.
That he knew that he'd never been to that. Have you ever been to say, Charlie? Oh, I've never been. I've never been yet. I'll go one day. And he never got there.
Yeah.
Never asked to saw the sea. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we then go upstairs... And you've got Gene and Winnie.
Yeah.
And then obviously Mel's there as well. And Mel's just listening to their conversation. And it's like two different worlds.
Yeah.
Listening in. And it's the first time we notice, well, not notice, we are introduced to Gene's love of biscuits, Maltesers, crunchies, Kit Kats. Is that based on someone? Or
it's not based on anybody in particular, but I think everybody knows, you know, those people who are sort of a bit weighty, if you like.
Right.
And then you'd ask them, you say, well, I've tried to lose weight. I don't even know. It's not like I'm eating, but they don't sort of class as eating little biscuits and, you know, snacks as actually, I only have one meal a day. It's all that kind of stuff, but then they're eating crunchies. And it just felt like it was a good little character trait. It was a shame with Rita because lots of times you'd be trying to do a dialogue and like bits of crispy had come flying out of a gob and stuff like that. And we'd have to retake it. Or she'd have a mouthful of cream cake trying to speak. But it just, it's just loving that idea of that woman who's, you know, she just looked, and she's always eating something, isn't she? She, you mm-hmm. know, more often than not, she's got a sweet, or she's got a biscuit, or she's got something on the go.
Yeah.
Or a crunchy. Yes. Yeah. It's just a nice idea. I mean, a lot of people do, you know, people do it in the cars, really, don't they, as mm-hmm. well? People mm-hmm. sort of a bit of a secret squirrels, really. And she does a little bit of that.
Yeah.
She eats quite, I mean, she's open about it, but then she is quite, you know, you can find her eating somebody else's sweets or whatever she's doing, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mel's birthday chocolates or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Winnie, the classic gossiper, as in knows everyone's business, but never really tells you. Just kind of hints about it, but also the best shit house in the whole thing. How she winds up Gene is beautiful.
Oh. Well, it's really, it's a lovely relationship, I think they've got. Well, not lovely, but it's kind of barbed, but also they do actually like, again, you see, I think that they, even though they do wind each other up underneath all, when they want to come together, they will. So they don't feel it. It's not, you know, they are having little pops at each other, and it is that kind of, you know, batting a ball back and two. But then they collude as well, don't they? You know, when they really want to, and when it suits both their purposes, they'll be like, oh, did you hear about? I can't even remember now, but you know, when they're talking about the article in the paper and things like that.
Bought a copy. You know?
Yeah. So they, again, we're setting up that thing of, you know, there is a back and forth there, but also as well, Jean pulls rank, doesn't she? She'll always, right, come on.
Yeah.
You've got some cleaning to do. You know, but you get too fed up with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only way that Winnie can bite back is to, you know, sort of pull the rug from underneath her, or, you know, so no, it's good. I like their relationship very much.
And
I like that there's something about writing for women as well, and old women is quite, I mean, my mum's still knocking on, she's 90,
right?
And Craig's mum's still around. I mean, they, my mum's called Winnie and Craig's mum's called Jean.
Is that right?
So that tells you, you know. And we both love our mums.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just nice to be able to sort of celebrate that in a way, really. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, they're not like those characters. But I guess some of it is. Some of it must be.
Come from some, yeah.
Yeah, because it does. I mean, my mum's not really a gossip, but she does like a bit of gossip.
There's a fine line.
Yeah. And she's always asking, mum's always asking questions about everything. So what's he do? You know, I bought her an Alexa because she just asks questions all. So who's he playing for? So what's he doing? So why does he do this? And all that, you know what I mean? But I think there was something about those two and something about writing for women that's really, that have that kind of knocker, you know, back and forth, sort of trying to undermine each other slightly. And, oh, yeah, you know, you were, he was married to your sister at the time and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, just to pull the rug a little bit is nice, which is what they do. So
we then go back down, and then Joe comes in, Craig Cash. And again, we're similar to the introduction of Ken. He's leaving work early. He's still clocking in overtime.
Yeah.
It's like, technically, it's wrong.
Technically, everybody's thieving. Or
but everyone's up to it. Everyone's up to it. And he puts the Smiths on, this charming man. Was there any other consideration, or is that song indirect for you coming in as the person who's got the suit and having the way.
It says music's great. I mean, we obviously, anyone watching Early Doors can see that we use music a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a big part of our lives as well. You know, Craig did do DJing. Yeah. I've been to thousands of gigs, and we were just sort of trying to think, well, okay, you know, and again, it's not something you think consciously, but I think, first of all, it's a great way to strike to say, like, as soon as I come walking in, it's like, you know, AOP, here he is. And you can see that they're mates straight away, because he'll know, because Duffy knows Joe's put that on the jukebox.
Yeah.
He knows that he's, and they both love the Smiths, and he's thinking, it right, here we go. And he's doing it because Duffy's doing it for Joe, really. You can, hey, look at me, and he's like, and Joe's loving it. And then they're giving it, you know, the Smiths, this channel, label, Rutray, yeah. You know, they're both like, yes, correct, come on.
And is that how you and Craig talk? Because you've known each other for so long. Is that how you would kind of interact with each other?
We do talk shorthand. Yeah. We don't do it so much now, but we still do. I used to work with a guy, all right, and he spoke, all right, Ben, how's it going? Not bad, not that. And so when I'd be on the phone, my ex or my girls would go, oh, he's talking to Craig, because I would only go, all right, mate, and he'd be on the side, I'll tell you what, mate, he was blah, blah, blah. So we talk like that. We still do. All right, Nobby, how's it going? So we do have a kind of I think you do with your mates, don't you? You have a little shorthand thing going on, which we definitely have.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a way of going, right, da-da-da-da. It's like bang, bang, bang. Right, we're in, correct, right. What you have, you know, it's kind of that, yeah. It shows that they've got a mate, and they've got an affection for each other, and you clearly know, you see there's a history between these two, because, you know, one knows what the other's going to say. I think you just see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's ways of kind of...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
As an audience, you're going, all right, tick, I know these two. These are mates. These are mates for a lot. You don't need to say, I mean, they're the worst comedies or the worst things when they say, oh, yeah, we've been friends for 20 years and we look, you know what I mean? You don't need to do that.
No.
You do it by, you know, it's, you know, you do see some comedies where it's a lot of exposition where they're just telling you, oh, yeah, my brother was this, or, you know, whole, you know, we've done this together. Whereas we would just try to do it in dialogue and observation, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then the audience is going, okay, I know. Yeah, by things that you'd recognise, by characters that you'd recognise, by the way that they interact with each other that you recognise, rather than sort of spell it out.
Yeah, because that interaction, you're right, the Rough Trade 83... That tells you everything you need to know in about 25 seconds?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then we've another couple come in, so Eddie and Joan, which is the direct opposite of Tommy. And I guess So they sit next to each other.
Yeah.
Well, was the juxtaposition on purpose?
Oh, absolutely on purpose. Yeah. It's obvious that, you know, where else are they going to, you know, they're happy-go-lucky. So where else are you going to put them other than next to the most miserable man in the town? You know what I mean?
Was it, I'm trying to think, but I honestly can't think of another time. Is it only Eddie who asks Tommy if he wants to come in on the round? I can't think.
Nobody else does.
Yeah.
Because everybody else knows what Tommy's like. They probably may have done in the past and just thought, oh, bollocks to him. It's just, you know what I mean? He's just going to, you know, and he's always going to say, I'll stay on my own. And he always says, I'll stay on my own. But Eddie's such a lovely, aimless man that he was still asking, you know, all right, Tommy, you have him well. No, I said, right, so, you know, he's unfazed by, well, he's not got a sort of character that would be fazed by it. It's just, okay, right, so, doesn't take it personally, just thinks, oh, well, okay, and I'll ask him again.
I'll try him again.
Yeah. Do you want to own Tommy? No. Oh, I thought. Because he's not taking it, is it? You know, and Tommy's like, probably, I wish you'd just stop asking me. You know, no, I'll stay on me. I told. He doesn't see it. Eddie doesn't see it because he's just not got that social awareness. He's just like, I thought, okay, if you don't want one.
And you see straight away with Joan how happy she is that Ken's offered to put a shamrock on a Guinness as well.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
Which I love.
That's great about them too. I mean, to be honest, when we first, so Adrian Shergold directed the first series. And when they first walked in, he got Eddie to sort of grease his hair down and put this big mask. And he looked like, as soon as he walked in, he looked like, I don't know, there was something sinister looking about him, like he'd be hanging around schools or something. I don't know.
Oh, you
know?
Right.
And we were like, oh, no. This is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. This isn't what this character's about. This character's not like some kind of weirdo. You know, because there is always those, you know, oh, don't go anywhere near, you know, Teresa Green's house because she kidnaps kids, or, you know what I mean? There's always people in there, you know, when your mum would say, oh, keep away from Mr. Malone's house because he'll set the dog on you, or whatever. There's always
set the dog on you.
Whereas, and I think he read it into it that something more into it than it actually was, and really, all it is that they're just like happy-go-lucky, aimless, love each other. That's all they're, you know, quite happy with the lot, really. But, you know, there was nothing more to it than that, to be honest with you. And I think, So we just said, no, that's not right. And he just came back in and, you know, we just had to scrap that bit of filming. So there probably is about... It's probably 5 minutes somewhere of Eddie coming in and him looking like Black Bob the Mass Murderer. Or do you know what I mean? And we just said, no, that's definitely not it.
Doesn't fit him. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's really important because the very first, it's like you say, isn't it? Is it like you make your mind about somebody in the first, what is it, 30 seconds or something like that?
It's not long, yeah.
So it's really important that you go that first impression of what are these like, and he's like, "All right, Ken," and he's all about the temporary traffic lights, and so you get him straight away.
Yeah,
but visually it just didn't fit. So yeah.
Well, speaking of the traffic lights, he has a quiz for you. Can you remember where the traffic lights were? There's 4 points that Eddie refers to.
Birdall Lane's always one, isn't there? It's Birdall Lane there.
That's the end, the bank next to Birdall Lane.
McVitie's?
You pass McVitie's to the bank on Birdall Lane.
Is Hesker Street in there?
Not on this one. I think it does change in the second series.
Oldsworth Square?
No.
No. About Colin Burley. Green Lane.
It's Samuel Street.
Oh, Samuel Street, yeah.
Top
yeah.
end of Piper Street. Oh, down Piper past Street. McVitie's to the bank on Bird Lane.
Yeah. Top end of
Piper.
Yeah.
But I do think they're it changes.
They're all roads that are around that are in Stockport.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I do think they actually they do change. They must change where the traffic lights are.
Yeah. Well, they move around. Well, he's obsessed with temporary traffic lights, isn't he? So he would know where they are all over town.
So yeah. Oh God, yeah.
He's driving different routes. He's seeking out temporary traffic lights, really. he's probably onto the road or the highways to find out where they are.
And
yeah,
I think you get a lovely bit of his character as well when he's trying to get Ken's attention, like it's his hero or some figure in his life that he just wants to impress. And Ken just, as he said, I kind of give a shite.
But what's great about that, and that was marked when you know, we didn't tell him to do this, was that Mark followed him up and down the bar. And you watch it, as Ken moves to the one side of the bar, Eddie follows him, and he goes up. He doesn't stay where he moves up the... I remember him doing it when we did... I think we did the rehearsals, and Mark did it, and we just really laughed. They said, oh, you've got to keep that in. Yeah. And it's just great that he follows him. You know, he follows him along the bar. Well, he can hear him just at the bar, but he just follows him, just trying to get his attention. And he's just, Ken's just not having it. You know what I mean? He's again, he's heard him going on about the traffic lights like we all have a million times, but, you know, so it's just water up a duck's back, really.
Well, it's funny you should mention going up the bar. Well, there's two other people at the top of the bar now, Tanya and Debbie. So the fitness girls going for a quick G&T before they go up to Melanie's class. And obviously, Ken's attention, as we'll learn later, is taken away by Tanya quite a bit.
I mean, that was a real slow burn with him and Tanya, which we did deliberately. We wanted to kind of... And it was an unlikely, you wouldn't put them together straight off. So I think we wanted to make it like a very slow kind of, you know, which when it ended up over the two series, didn't it, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the live show as well,
Yeah.
But they're great characters as well. Kind of, as you mentioned in the last episode, that the women are in charge, that kind of, they've just got the run of the place. They just know how it works in the pub. They're coming in early. They've got everyone's number. That's what I'm seeing. They've got the mark on everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in charge. Two people who aren't in charge, though, who come in. I think there's one other person after this. It's Phil and Nige.
Oh, yeah.
and then turn up. The recurring characters of the police.
I mean, you know, Phil and Nigel are as I have said before, that the only people that the real characters that are based on real people is Phil and Nigel. So the most unlikely of people in there, you would think, you know, that you're sort of stretching reality a bit, is actually true. The pub we used to go drinking in, there were two coppers called Phil and Nigel who used to come in the back door. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, the landlord, would go and they would have a drink with him in the back.
Brilliant.
And that, you know, and obviously because they're on duty, they're staying in the back room.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they don't want to kind of, the regulars know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's all a bit clandestine, isn't it? Because, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, we don't want people coming in the front who seeing us. You know, so so they're just sort of hidden away in the back room, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the great characters of, they never pay for a drink. They're always asking for a whiskey on the side. Well, Nige's, Phil is.
Yeah.
But they always want the good whiskey. And they're always slagging off the oak. Did you in your head have it that when they're in the oak, they're doing the same thing about the grapes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, playing each other off against each other.
Yeah, yeah. And also, they know it's a way of using their influence, isn't it? And their kind of the power that they've got as the cops.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, they can say, oh, they can slag the old cop. So if they're slagging the old cop, then it's more incentive to Ken to that he gives them the extra whiskey and that he kind of hands it to them, you know what I mean? And they know that, and they're working him, aren't they? That's what the cops are doing.
Yeah. And I guess Ken gets after hours and stuff.
Yeah,
like
he
that.
Gets his, if he serves late on, the cops turn the blind eye to it. He knows the cops can smooth if there's any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there ever would be, but you know what I mean? He just knows that the cops are, they have influence, don't they, in his mind, and they can sort things out that he can't, and he can, and they can turn a blind eye to stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, so they probably, if they stumbled across the fact that he was, selling dodgy booze or, you know, well, I think that's what, I'm not sure if he's in this episode when he says, I think somewhere's been raided.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he says, hey, Mel, you've not seen anyone selling dodgy booze. She says, only you, Dad.
Yeah.
And the cops start laughing because they kind of give it, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
So the final character that comes up in this episode. So in episode 2, we'll talk about James McAvoy, who's had a quiet career, really, let's be honest.
Yeah. Don't know what happened to him.
No idea. But someone else who had a quiet career is Janice, Maxine Peake. What was it like working with Maxine? Yeah, because she's unbelievable.
Yeah. She can't act, can she?
No.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, she's lovely, Maxine. Yeah, yeah. But it's an odd one, really, because when she's one of those people. She's not actually, she's not in the audition, or not even when we first started. She's not one of these people who's that confident in her own ability. Yet she's got abundance of ability. You know what I mean? She's just a fabulous actress. So again, we just auditioned her. She just, you know, amongst quite a lot of others, which is weird now looking back on it. I mean, you wouldn't be able to audition her now. You'd just either offer the part or not.
Yeah.
And I think she'd only been, I think we told her on the day. Usually you wait and you sort of have a debate about it, but she was that good. She said, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's great.
And what I like about her character, Janice, so she's all like, can you look after the baby? And like really shy, sheepish maybe. But as soon as Joe says yes, she's like, right, no smoking, bottles under there.
Yeah,
it's laying down the law.
Yeah. Oh no, she's kind of, you know, and again, she's sort of a, and I'm not sure if you're allowed to say this really in these politically correct times, but she would say, in the old days, you would say she was like a tart with a heart. Which kind of stuff what you would, you know, so she's obviously, you know, she's her morals might be questionable, but you know, she's got heart of gold, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it's a funny expression, that, isn't it? I mean, you say it and everybody knows, if you know that expression, you know exactly what you mean, you know what I mean? So, and she, that's what she's like, you know, she's sort of, yeah, you know, she is, again, not quite, she hasn't got much self-awareness, let's say that.
Mm-hmm. And just for public record, we're on about Janice here, not Maxine, just anyone is listening.
Oh, God, yeah, of course.
But yeah, I thought, well, she pops up throughout the series, doesn't she? So she's quite a... It's hard to describe. She has a crucial character for like backstories.
Yeah.
But she's not a permanent fixture within the bar.
No, there's a few, particularly in the first series. I think it's difficult as well because you're finding your feet with the writing as well in the first series. You don't know the actors you're not sure how they're going to play it. And right. sometimes writing, ours definitely did, bends towards what you see their strengths are, what you see when they interpret it, and you think, okay. It's a subconscious thing, but I think you definitely write more towards when you see, you know, what they're doing with the character and how they're taking it. Mm-hmm. It does have, yeah. So unfortunately, she'd signed on to do Shameless for two series, so she couldn't be in the second series, which is a shame, you know, because we brought somebody else in, but it was great, Nicola. But she was just that really good. Again, there's another storyline going on. Is this baby yours? Is it not yours? You know, will Duffy get, you know, is he going to trap off with, you know, what's going on at home? It's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just gives you another a level of what's going on in the outside world as well, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And tap into, you know, as opposed to sort of it just being what you see is what you get. That happens, but also you get a glimpse into what everybody else's life is by the way that that you see them for that snapshot in the pub and how they interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Great. Well,
right.
So in 2 weeks' time, we'll discuss. Yeah. The story of episode one.
Right.
Just so we can give this episode to the characters a bit more.
Yeah.
And then in 4 weeks' time, we'll probably mention James McAvoy in a bit more detail. And then obviously in series two, you've got Dino, Nicola, other characters who are coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening. If you want to get in touch, you can find us on Instagram, which is at Early Doors Pod, on Twitter, you'll guessed it, at Early Doors Pod, and we're on email, earlydoorspod@gmail.com as well. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, and please leave a rating and a review. You hear this in all the podcasts, but apparently it does help. So if you can send people our way for more listeners, that's great. So from me, Ben, thanks for listening, and
thank you very much for listening. Cheers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.